Pastor Darrell Bailey coming to you live on Facebook and Sermon Audio. And it's good to be coming into your house. I'm doing a makeup I ran out of my film the other night. And so I'm going to do a makeup on our Wednesday night Bible study. I thank God for that. Welcome to People's Valley Baptist Church, 68 Ledford Lane, Cartersville, Georgia. We're meeting currently on Monday mornings for 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock morning worship. We're not doing Sunday nights right now because of the COVID virus, and so we're being as careful as we can. Still having Wednesday night with Deacon Bob Carroll out in the Fellowship Hall, and I'll be on Facebook on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And so it's good to have each and every one of you with us tonight. January the 6th, 2020, the 22nd of Tevet, 5781 of the Hebrew calendar, amen. As we continue on with our mountains of the Bible. Mountains of the Bible, amen. I thank God. We're going to be talking about the mountain of sorrows. The mountain of sorrows tonight, amen. I thank God as pick up. This is we've got one more series after this, and we'll have the mountains of the Bible complete. This is the 12th of a session of this, and so we're looking forward to going and being able to go into another study after we get done with the mountains of the Bible. We really have enjoyed this, and it's been so informative, amen, tonight. Without any further ado, I want you to remember some names. We'll have some worship and prayer time. And so I thank God for, I want you to remember especially one of my co-workers, his mother passed away, Joanne Cantrell, Tony Cantrell, his mother, and the mother-in-law for Jackie Cantrell at her college. I want you to remember and keep them in your prayers as Joanne Cantrell passed away this morning. I want you to continue remembering each and every one of us where the death angels come into our homes. Be with those that are sick and afflicted, especially those that are recently come down with COVID. I don't like saying a lot of folks' names on there because of that. Because I intend, my prayers are, is for replenishing. And so some folks want to be prayed for, and we're going to pray for them. Some folks don't want their name said. And so I want you to continue remembering those that we know within our church family that have recently been tested positive of COVID. I want you to lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that our great physician will heal them completely in the mighty name of Jesus Christ as well. Remember those that are lost: Rachel Zumont, Mark Pratt, Kara King, Heather Bentley, Jeremy, Melissa Ruppel, Becky Benefield, Laura Skates, Renee Mann, family of five, Kobe Boyd, Ressie Bennett, Christy Campbell, Don Massey Jr., Michael Morgenstein, Uncle Larry, Mary Pruitt's uncle, also Michael and Danny, which is cousins to Mary Pruitt, and also Daniel, which is Mary Pruitt's nail guy. Also George Gordon, Darrell Pruitt's friend out in Tampa, Florida, Jake and Joyce Sr., Dr. Pete Limpnack. Remember all of these as you pray for them. Remember all of our widows: Joyce Coots, Betty Eaton, Gail George, Mary Sr., Sheila Sr., Sabre Turner, Brenda Weaver, Deborah Ruppel, Elizabeth Boucher, Linda Adams, and those men as well that are widowers: Jim Leahy, Sam Lewis, Earl Matheson, Todd Barnes, and Bradford Thomas, amen. Currently, I want you to continue to remember those that were dealing with cancer: Sam Lewis, Gail George, Bradford Thomas, as we lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus. I also want to send out praise to each and every one of you for all of our health workers, for those that are healthcare workers on the front lines. We pray that God would strengthen them, protect them, continue to use them. Pray for all the unemployed, those that for their families and for their communities as well. We pray for our students. We had a student the other day that didn't make it because she was passed away in an accident. And we, even though we don't know that family, we want to lift that family up in their grief and their time as well. So please remember all of these names tonight. We pray for our nation as well. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Father, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to humble us, Lord, before your supernatural intervention, Father. Lord, we pray on behalf of our beloved nation. Lord God, that Lord, we give everything over to you, Lord, that you bestow on all of our land, the blessings that you allow us to bring. And Lord, Father, that you would let us benefit not only on our own citizens, but the rest of the world, that your hand of protection would be about this nation. Of all the things that are happening in Washington, D.C., I pray, God, that you'll intervene on those lost names that were mentioned, those that are grieving, those that have COVID, Father, that the first line workers that are out there in the healthcare facilities, Lord, for those firefighters, for all those policemen, Lord, for those in our church, Lord, that are in Afghanistan, Father, I pray for them, their families, as they're away from them, and I ask you, God, Lord, that you would just watch over each and every one of us, enable us by your Holy Spirit to, Lord, as we are the Christians of this nation, as we come together in power and prayer, Father, I ask you, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to declare and live out the truth and the spirit and the love, Lord, as we pray for our country and our nation during this time of division. And Lord, we ask it all in the mighty name, as you'll save these lost sinners and bring them into the family of God, in Jesus' marvelous mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. As we go right on, let's have us a time of praise and worship, amen, as we lift up. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Amen. I thank God, as it's good to lift up the mighty name of Jesus Christ in all that we do. It is always a blessing to praise and give worship and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flow be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power while I draw this fleeting breath. When my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God, as we get right on into our Bible study tonight, Mountains of the Bible here, as we are talking about the Mountain of Sorrows, of all the places of the Mount of Olives where there's been sorrow brought, right there and around in Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you, this is one of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. Don't forget what I always tell you, you can preach a better sermon with your life than you can with your lips, amen. And so I thank God, as we look at these five areas tonight, this is part one. We'll pick up part two next time, if the Lord permit. But there'll be five areas. That's what I'm making up tonight, because I only was able to get into four of those, and I want to make that up and complete this study for it completely. As we look at one of the very first places, the Mountain of Sorrows, and that will be in 2 Samuel 15. I thank God, as we look at this, we realize that 1,000 years later from this will be the very spot where Christ comes. And as David, the first king, one of those kings that was rejected during the time of the Old Testament, was rejected, I'll see that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will be rejected in the future time as well, 1,000 years from that time frame. And so it speaks of redemption and one day the ultimate acceptance of the king himself. As we get right on into our study tonight, amen. Mount Olives, the Mountain of Sorrows. This is our 12th study, part one, that deals with David, Solomon, Jesus, Peter. I thank God. One of the first things that we see here tonight as we begin to look at this and the Mount of Olives, but I thank God we'll be able to talk about that, because as we look at this, there are actually three places, if I can get on here in just a minute, that I'll bring it up. But as we get into this, one of the first the lessons for us to see about the issues of sorrow, number one, is the sorrow from sedition or betrayal. David was betrayed by his own son during this time frame. And as we look and realize that it's sad that we know that this was one of those times that it was sad that this began to take place and go under. But I thank God we'll look at the reading of the Word of God in just a moment. Amen. But I thank God here was some pictures that we took, Brother Bob Carroll, myself, as we were with John and Matthew Hagee back in 2008 in Israel. And Brother Bob Carroll was able to go back again in 2009, him and Nani Combs. I wish I could have went with him, but I wasn't able to go. But I thank God as we look and realize that there are three different places, as we'll be talking about tonight, when we're dealing with the Mount of Olives. You see three arrows. You'll see three towers. These are all the Mount of Olives, but they're also known by their towers and by their how tall they are. And I thank God, 2,710 feet with the Mount Scopus, and I'll talk about that in just a minute, 2,684 feet with the Mount of Olives, which is the central part of the mountain, and the valleys, the two valleys that come in between, and then 2,451 feet with the Mount of Corruption. I thank God as we talk of each one of these and begin to realize what each one of these mean, because I thank God as we look at... first of all, the southern peak, which is the Mount of Corruption as well, as it's the southern hill overlooking Jerusalem, called the Mount of Offense, since Solomon built temples for his foreign wives at these locations. And it's known as the Mountain of Corruption as well. It marks the boundary of the era of Judean wilderness. Bethany and Bethpage are two of the New Testament villages that hung around through these eastern slopes that have been referred to in this. And it was idolatrous worship that took place on these mounts. As we realize this, we look at the northern summit over here, which is Mount Scopus. Mount Scopus, it's the south of a small saddle through the ancient Roman road to Jericho that it passed through. I thank God as this place is one of the ones where the legions were all camped out there. And as we realize that during the time of this, there's a lot of history that goes with this. But I thank God, Scopus, it means a mark. I thank God that is telling us this, because as we begin to look at Scopus is the Greek word that it refers to. And it tells us as we look at this, Scopus is one of the very first places that the pilgrims, when they come up upon Jerusalem, that they would be able to see in their line of sight. And I thank God as that's exactly what the Greek means, as it's called Mount Scopus, amen. And so of these three peaks that we look at, and then the central one, which is the Mount of Olives, that has the Mount of the olive groves that are there, and so the Garden of Gethsemane that is located in those areas. And so I thank God as we begin to look and realize of all of this that we're going to be talking about tonight, amen. And so I thank God the mountain was linked with sorrow and sadness and weeping. And each one of these places that we're going to be talking about, five different areas that we're going to talk about tonight in part one. And I thank God as we realize that some of the trees that we took pictures of are very old. I thank God as you look at the Mount of Olives and the center, the oil press, the garden means oil press, and they're eight very old gnarled trees that are surrounded by iron fences, and the timelessness of these trees inspire a sacred atmosphere that are there, amen. I thank God the earliest time, back in 2012, the Italian National Research Council conducted studies and determined that the trees were in excess. As you notice, the Kidron Valley that is here and the church that's back over in this area. Some of these older trees that we took pictures of are pretty old, amen. They've been determined with an excess of 1,000 years old. They possible that these trees were the offshoots of trees dating to the time of Jesus. And as we look at the fact that the parent tree is cut down, the shoots come back from the same roots. And so I thank God as we begin to look and realize this, and I'm going to back up to our scripture right now that we're fixing to go to. But first, the point was, we're talking about the very first point of lessons to learn about the issues of sorrow is the sorrow from sedition, which means betrayal in 2 Samuel 15 verses 30 and 31. Now let's get us back over to that scripture. I thank God in 2 Samuel 15, the Bible says, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olive and wept as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they came up. In verse 31, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now, thank God, as we look at this, this is the first mention of the mountain in the Bible. It's associated with weeping in 2 Samuel 15. David is fleeing from his son Absalom, who had betrayed him, and he's trying to kill his father to take over the kingdom. And the reigning king of Israel is a fugitive. He's on the run for his life. He ascends to the Mount of Olives, 200 feet above the city of Jerusalem, almost basically 2,700 feet in total height. David climbs, he begins to weep, he covers his head, his feet are uncovered, which is a symbol of mourning and bankruptcy, humiliation, and exile. David's followers see him weep, they weep too. And it finds out that his close friend and advisor, Ahithophel, has betrayed him. And so betrayal, disloyal, mutiny, rebellion can be very painful because these actions usually come from people that we're very close to and care very much about. That's why it hurts so bad when you've been betrayed by a husband that has cheated on you, a wife that has cheated on you, a son or a daughter that has betrayed you. Jesus offered some insight by his response to Judas when he betrayed the Lord. Jesus had an humble servant spirit, and he had no bitterness. And so Jesus continued to minister to others and to teach the word of God and to try to help them. We need to strive to do the very same thing as well. As we look to the cross when we're double-crossed, amen. And so our flesh, it wants to fight back. It wants to take revenge. But I thank God we're to respond in the way that David responded. How is that? Psalms 54, it shows us David's response to betrayal. He prays in verses 1 and 2. Now thank God he tells us, he says, listen, the chief musician on Nagath Meshil, a psalm of David, when the Sims came and said to Saul, doeth not David hide himself with us? Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. Now, thank God he's showing us that it's by prayer. The second thing, the problem is identified specifically because he said, for strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul, and they have not set God before them. Selah, pause and think about what you just said, amen. And so I thank God. As all of these titles of the Meshil Psalms is talking about smitings, things that have happened that record a deliverance from personal smitings, amen. And so I thank God of betrayal and deliverance, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that each one of us, William Tyndale was betrayed. As he translated the Bible from Hebrew to Greek into English, making a Bible for all of the common people. But in 1535, he was betrayed by a friend. Who was that? Hey, it was the king himself that he was betrayed by. He was taken prisoner to the castle of Vifford, continued to work on his translation. He was unable to finish his work because he was sentenced to die a heretic's death, which would include strangulation and burning at the stake. On October the 6th, 1536, he cried out his very last words, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And then he died. His prayer was answered within a year. Tyndale responded to his betrayal by praying, and God honored him. And so I thank God it shows us David's response as the problem that is being identified specifically. Amen. They've risen up against me, oppressors, and they seek my soul, and they have not set God before them. Amen. I thank God, as we look at this, when it comes to God, men cannot be neutral. They're either opposed to him or they favor him. And as this spoke of David, it spoke of a greater son of David, because every one of us, as we look and realize that it shows David's response to betrayal. In verses 4 and 5 of Psalms 54, the peace he has in his heart. We see he says, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto my enemies. Cut them off in thy truth." And that's exactly what happened, Facebook and Sermon Audio. I thank God when we look at this, David was immediately immeasured and blessed by the Lord. And I thank God David prayed his enemies were utterly cut off. And the reason is so obvious. It was because of the truth of the Word of God. Men should find out what God's truth is, follow it, because His truth is the Word of God. Amen. God is my helper. He will take care of my enemies. You don't need to seek revenge for whatever it is that's come against you or whoever that has done that. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have a thing against anybody in my past or my present or my future currently. Amen. I love everybody. And I thank God for each and every one that God has placed in my life that has crossed my path. I have no hard feelings at no one. And I hope and pray nobody has no hard feelings against me. But if they do, let me know. May we make amends to it as well. And so we welcome you all back with open arms and love you. And thank the good Lord for you. Amen. Because I'm not perfect, but I'm going to tell you, I'm willing to apologize if there's something that's been said that misconstrued it or it's wrong. Then I will be the first to admit and say, "Please forgive me, brother, sister. May we come back together and let's make amends." And so I thank God. It talks about the peace that David had in his heart. We should have that in our heart when it comes to sorrows and someone that has betrayed us and done us wrong. Amen. And then also Psalms 54, verses 6 and 7, David had praise in his response to betrayal, because the Word of God says, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye hath seen his desire upon my enemies." Amen. Well, I thank God. The sacrifice that was offered in faith in verse 6, amen, that he offered it despite all the difficulties and the circumstances, David knew that God would ultimately deliver him. And you've got to have that same kind of faith, Christian, as well. No matter what you're going through, Almighty God will come through. He will deliver you in your time of need and trouble. Hallelujah. And I thank God in verse 7, I thank God he said, "For he delivered me out of all my trouble." Amen. I thank God. This is the thing that we've got to believe with all of our heart. The setting of this psalm, I thank God, it describes prophetically, and it concerns the Messiah in the coming day. It also talks about the minority of the Jews who will in the last days believe on him, possibly even the 144,000. I thank God as the punishment upon the enemies, being himself sinless as a man and righteous as God, he can demand a fitting judgment. But I thank God he claims a just sentence upon the convicted transgressors. He says, "He hath delivered me out of all trouble." David looked to the Lord when he was betrayed, and we are to look to the cross when we're double-crossed, and we look to the Lord, and if we don't, our eyes will become focused on our enemies and we'll tend to become bitter. And so these are the things that it shows us of David's response to betrayal, amen, that he prayed, the problem was identified specifically, the peace that he had in his heart and his praise in Psalms 54 verses 1 through 7, amen. I thank God. Our second point that we learn about the issues of sorrow is the sorrow from slavery, sexual abuse, and subjugation. As in Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 4, I thank God as we look at this, we begin to realize the days of the Lord comes. It presents this day as a beginning with the second coming and the lasting until the end of the millennium. And I thank God Zechariah is telling us that there's coming a day when the Lord's coming back. He's going to plant his feet on the great fault line on the Mount of Olives. He's going to split the mount. And it's going to open up a way of escape for those of the Jews that will be able to go through there all the way down to the Red Sea in Egypt and make their way of escape. And I thank God as it talks about this, each and every one of us, we realize that the mobilization of the nations to Armageddon, Ezekiel chapters 38, 39, Joel chapter 3, Revelation 16, Revelation 19, as the city shall be taken, actually means that the Antichrist will prepare to take Jerusalem, with actually half of it being taken. The houses will be raffled. We're going to be reading about how that the women will be raped, which is horrible. That's why we talk about slavery, sexual abuse, subjugation, the horrible things, expresses the extreme cruelty that's practiced by the armies of the Antichrist of that day. And it's a horrible time. Thank God in Zechariah 14, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem. The battle for the city shall be taken, and the houses raffled, and the women ravaged, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Boy, I thank God as he's telling us about all of the things that's taking place during this time. Amen. As we go on, he says, then, notice that, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Then, I tell you, is the emphasis. It is the key word. Amen. Then shall the Lord go forth. Amen. I thank God. Then when Israel shall begin to cry for God for deliverance, knowing that he's the only help. Then when half of Jerusalem, amen, has fallen and it looks like the other half is about to fall. Praise God. Then when it looks like every Jew will be annihilated, amen, with two-thirds already killed, amen. Then when it looks like the promises of God made to the patriarchs and the prophets of old will fall down, amen. Then when it looks like the Antichrist will win this conflict, amen, which will make Satan the Lord of the earth, amen. Well, I thank God. Then shall the Lord go forth. It refers to the second coming, which will be the most cataclysmic event that the world has ever known. And the fight against those nations pertains to the nations under the banner of the Antichrist, which have set out to destroy Israel and annihilate it totally. And I tell you, as we look and realize that, and when he fought in the day of battle, I thank God. He says, listen, and when he fought in the day of battle, look with me right here on this third verse. And when he fought in the day of battle, amen, I thank God. It refers to the time that back when the children of Israel were in Egypt and by way of the Red Sea and Egypt, in Exodus 14 and Exodus 15, Israel's first battle with Jehovah Messiah, Yahweh. He went forth, he fought for them. Israel passed through the valley between the mountains of water. And this was their last battle as they escaped through a valley between mountains of rock, at which the next, as it proclaims, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Notice that. The Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and the half of it toward the south. Listen to the prophecy and the word of God. Amen. I thank God as we look at this. Standing on the Mount of Olives is the landing point at the second coming, fulfilling the prediction. You know what? It was the leaving place of Christ, and it's the coming place of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Zechariah 14:4. Amen. Boy, I thank God. The Mount of Olives. It's the landing point at the second coming, fulfilling the prediction. Because I thank God when the rapture takes place, there's no landing. Up and away, the Lord will meet him in the air. Amen. Boy, I thank God. But here is a landing point. I thank God at the second coming, fulfilling the prediction of the two angels of his ascension, according to Acts chapter 1. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst there toward the east and toward the west. And I thank God as it speaks of the topographical change that is going to take place, which Israel will use at that hour as a way of escape from the Antichrist. Amen. With every roadblock, the Lord will open a way through the very center of the mountain as he opens a path through the Red Sea. And there shall be a very great valley, referring to the escape route of Israel that he's talking about. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. The wall of the rock on either side of the escaping Israel that makes it to the wall of water on either side, which Israel escaped all the way back in Exodus, amen, 14 and Exodus 15, that it refers to in the Old Testament. Because when Christ returns, the nation of the world will gather in Israel at the place called Armageddon. I wish I would have put that picture up here. We looked across the valley of death, where the blood is going to be as high as the horse's bridles, amen. And the valley of Jezreel, Israel will be in turmoil, and the city of Jerusalem will be all ravished. The houses of the holy city will be looted. Women will be raped. Half the people were taken into captivity, and the remaining part of the people will be left among the ruins. And Jesus will return and will stand upon the Mount of Olives. And I thank God that mountain will split in two, forming a wide valley from east to west, which will enable the tribulation Jews to escape for safety. And I thank God, amen, as we look and realize that there is that geological fault that is running underneath the Mount of Olives that's going to be split wide open one of these days. Let's move right on to the third point. The sorrow of sham worship. When you were looking at the three towers earlier, you were looking at this tower over to the south. And I thank God as you begin to look at that, we see a lesson about the issue of sorrow from the mountain of sorrow itself. I thank God of Solomon at 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 13. When we look at the reading of the mighty word of God and the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, that was the mountain that it was called and referred to because of Solomon building shrines to the foreign wives that he had married. I tell you, man, Solomon started out the wisest man and became the foolishest of all. When Solomon, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and the Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. I tell you, it's sad to know that there's going to be a very great valley escape route, amen. But I thank God as we look and realize that what a tragedy that King Solomon was so smart that he did something like this. You know, God is a spirit. We worship him in spirit and truth, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, Solomon violated God's first commands and the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I thank God the manner in which that first commandment is given, it indicates that each individual of the nation is addressed severally, personally, to obey that law. And I thank God it's a general national obedience for all of us. He says, you shall not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I'm going to tell you, children of God tonight, if we disobey God's word and we bring sorrow upon ourselves, we hurt our witness and our example, our testimony, that others are watching us. You know, the very first time that I came to the church 20-something years ago, I went out visiting, and those guys were out drinking. Came up on some of them, they were drinking. And the thing about it is, I'm nobody. The thing about that is your testimony, your representation of Jesus Christ. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit that indwells you, amen. And so I thank God, the Lord cleaned out some things, amen, during those times. And he moved some people on. I didn't do a thing. The Lord did it all. Whatever was needed to be done, the Lord did it. Amen. I was just watching him do it, amen. And standing in obedience wherever he wanted me to stand. Amen. Speak when he wanted me to speak. Hallelujah. And so I thank God. You know, it's sad because I don't know how we're going to overcome the difficulties of getting the folks back into the house of God, because when people get lazy and used to staying at home, it's going to be hard to get them out of that lazy pattern. And, it's sad that that's going to happen in the coming days. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I wonder, how much worshiping have you been doing while you're at home when you're not able to go to the house of God? Take time to worship. And I mean, more so than I'm just setting an example as one or two verses here. I mean, take time to praise his name and lift him up every day. Amen. I thank God, every one of us. Let's move right on along. The fourth, the sorrow of the signs of the end of time. As we look at the lessons of the issues of sorrow from the mountain of sorrow itself, the three peaks or the three towers of Mount of Olives. Amen. And I thank God, here we look at Matthew chapter 24, the sorrow of the signs of the ends of time. Amen. that we look at this. This is a lengthy a bit of scripture. Pay attention to this. And I actually broke off, and my camera cut off after this right here, and I wasn't able to go into my fifth point. And that's why I'm refilming again tonight to get every bit of it complete. And so listen to us tonight on the Mount of Olives. Jesus shared with the disciples the signs that would be prevalent in the world before he would return. He described some very, very dire conditions in the world as this planet's going to be thrown into a time of tribulation. Now, it's sad, but as we look at Matthew 24, verses 3, 4, and 5, the Bible says that he sat upon the Mount of Olives. And the disciples came unto him, privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Amen. Here is the coming siege of Jerusalem by the Romans some 37 years later. It began at the very spot where Christ was sitting. His disciples came unto him privately out of earshot, and many of them asking, what are these signs to be? Amen. And so I thank God. It has to do with the utterance that that was given concerning the destruction of the temple and the second coming. I thank God that at the end of the world is translated the end of age. And so I thank God as we look and realize he tells us, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you." I thank God as the future of Israel, how that it will affect the entire world. All eyes are always on Israel every day, amen. We've had presidents that before our current president that didn't recognize them. I don't even know if they're Christian, if they claim to be. I don't really know what to believe about them. But I know one thing, we had the harshest time during those 8 years with Israel when we had a president that was so against the nation of Israel. And that tells on the administration when something like that happens, amen. And so it's sad to see things like this. But immediately before the great tribulation, right here, we see in verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And I tell you, every one of us, the time immediately before the coming great tribulation, especially its first half, here, the greatest of these will be the Antichrist, who will claim to be the Messiah. He will do some marvelous things and deceive many, especially the Jews. He will have the next answer to the temple being built and all of these things, amen. It's sad, but it goes on. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." I thank God. Here we begin to realize that it will accelerate during the first half of the great tribulation of the 3.5 years of that tribulation. Remember, the tribulation is to rescue those Jews that are remaining during that time, that they will get into the family of God. Amen. And so I thank God. If there's anyone else that's Gentiles, count yourself lucky, because it wasn't for you. It was strictly for the Jews that it would get them on board. Amen. And so I thank God. You better get on board now before that time happens. Amen. But I thank God that this will be the beginning of the fulfillment of what Jesus said. But the end is not yet. The end will be at the second coming. Amen. I thank God. He says in verse 7, he says, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and the pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Listen, you're going to be looking. The churches don't going to be raptured out, but you're going to be looking for an exit sign somewhere, and you won't be able to find it, because you're stuck during that time, because you were not in the number. You were not in the rapture. You were lost as lost could be. And you need to be praying and asking God to come in and be the keeper of your soul. Amen. Few places in the world, if any, will be exempt from these judgments. And I tell you, I thank God, every one of these judgments will be coming down and raining upon this world. And I'm going to tell you, you'll think, man, you think your worst day before this will be one of your best days, amen. And I thank God it goes on. All these are the beginning of sorrows, amen. The first half of the great tribulation, the beginning of sorrows, amen, that he's talking about. That's the first half, the first 3.5 years that he's referring to. And then in verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Boy, I thank God. This is the midpoint of the great tribulation, when the Antichrist, whom Israel thought was the Messiah, he's going to show his true colors right here. And I thank God, as all the nations of Israel, nation of Israel is hated by everyone's sake, No nation will come for her rescue. It's sad that this will be taking place during that time, amen. And so it goes on, it says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, amen. And so some Jews will accept Christ, which will then be offense to others. And the Jews who accept Christ will be rescued at that time and brought into the family of God. And man, what a blessing that'll be, amen. It goes on in verse 11, it says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, amen. They will help the Antichrist, all of those that are deceivers. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There is a wax cold going on right now across America. You know why? Because many of you have got slack in your Bible reading and your prayer time because you've stayed at home so long that, you know what? You have already slacked up. And because America has slacked up, there is something else that has taken place where your devotion to God was. And it's sad to say that, but you have got wax cold in all of those areas. Amen. Now, thank God, he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Even though all tarnation is breaking loose during that time, if you're still around and you weren't in that number of the rapture and you get saved during the tribulation, you're going to be able to get saved at that time. And I thank God, even though that it may cost you your life or your head, but I thank God you'll be able to get into the family of God. Amen. And it says, I thank God, as it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Amen. Until the gospel is preached to everyone, until everybody has that opportunity, even the ones that got left behind, amen, until they have a chance to totally refuse, because that's exactly what you're saying. When you don't accept Jesus, you're saying, I refuse you, Jesus, to be my Savior. I thank God. And so that's exactly what you're telling him when you refuse him, amen. And so I thank God that's as bad as anything else is. He tells us, he says, listen, he says, when ye shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, amen. Now thank God, Daniel the prophet, as he talked about it, it speaks of the Antichrist invading Israel, taking over the temple. I thank God, as it reads in the Word of God of Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 11, Daniel chapter 12, and I thank God these are all the places that it talks about the abomination of desolation and the Antichrist, how he's going to defile the temple as he's going to put up his own idol to be worshipped during that time. It's going to be a horrible time for those during the tribulation, amen. Then let them which be in Judea flee in to the mountains, amen. The Antichrist invades Israel at the midpoint of the great tribulation, amen. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, amen. I thank God, back in the biblical days, they had flat roofs, amen, in that part of the world. During the summer, people would sleep on top of the house for them to enjoy the coolness of the night, amen. But he said, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, amen. I thank God the necessity of fleeing will be so urgent that it'll be difficult for even the pregnant women and the mothers with babies. That is talking about right here. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Amen. But pray ye that your flight may be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Amen. Because I thank God each and every one of us, there's going to be bad weather. The strict religions observance of the Sabbath that doesn't permit travel. But amen. During that time. But I thank God. These are the great times of horribleness that's going to be taking place. Amen. He says, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened as well. And so I thank God Israel's coming close to extinction. But I thank God by that time shortened, it means by the second coming. Amen. I thank God, he says, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, amen. Don't be deceived, amen. He says, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs of wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Man, we've got them in America today that's deceiving people out there in religion. Amen. They're out there just making money, and they're not concerned about healing or doing anything in the mighty name of Jesus. And it's sad to see all of this deceitfulness happen to the people of God. Amen. The Antichrist, the false prophet, according to Revelation chapter 13, will show great signs and wonders. But in so much as that, if it were possible, he'll deceive many of them. I thank God he goes on, behold, I have told you before, amen. And I thank God he says, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. And in verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even out of the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, amen. Well, I thank God. Here it proclaims the most cataclysmic event the world has ever known, amen. No one will have to ask. They're going to know that this is a time that everything is breaking loose for what it is. It's the end of times and everything that is transpiring, amen. Excuse me. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. When you see it spoke of the eagles, it refers to the Battle of Armageddon. That's being translated. The vultures that are gathered together, according to Ezekiel 39. And I thank God, as this is a horrible time that speaks of the second coming. And I thank God, as he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Listen, listen very carefully. Listen, because I thank God it speaks of the time of the second coming, that the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. The light of the orbs will be dimmed by the comparison to the light of the Son of God. Amen. The Creator of all will outshine all of the elements that are around him. Praise God. The stars shall fall from heaven and display the heavenly fireworks at the second coming, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And it will work with the Son of God against the Antichrist at the second coming, that the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Here is sorrows from the mountain of sorrows itself. Let's complete up with the word of God. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I thank God as we look at this and we begin to realize that it again is pertaining to the second coming, which will take place in the midst of earth and heaven shaking events. Amen. It concerns the nations of the world, that of all the things that people will be able to see with their television cameras at that time, all the phenomena that will be taking place, they'll be looking and seeing this. There'll be people all over the world that'll be witnessing this. And I thank God as Christ, they shall see the Son of Man coming in his glorified body, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And I thank God as we look at this, they will be able to see every bit of this through the television cameras and through the modernization of the new technology that we have today. It'll all be visible. And it says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, referring to the Jewish people from one end of heaven to the other. And I thank God Israel is his elect from the four winds. The Jews will be gathered from all over the world, and they will be brought to Israel. Amen. I thank God if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can avoid every bit of this time of tribulation by putting your faith in him right here tonight. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, in order to get the best of all the sorrows that you can, is come into the family of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, according to Romans. Amen. And Romans tells us how that we can with our mouth speak and ask God to forgive us of our sins, come in and be the keeper of our souls, and believe it, step out, take him at his word through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, ask him to come in and set up a residence of the Holy Spirit in our life and forgive us of our sins and save us by his marvelous grace. Amen. He'll remove every one of the believers from this world before the 7-year period of turmoil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I thank God is the doctrine of the rapture of the church. And I thank God it is the word of the Lord, amen, that they will be taken on out of here. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, amen. Boy, I thank God. Every one of us, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, I thank God, raptured together with them, the resurrected dead and the clouds of saints, not clouds as we normally think of such, but we meet the Lord in the air. Those that are already in the graves will come back from heaven with the Lord, and those of us that are here or remain will be changed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, and we'll meet up together in the clouds, amen, that we can be meet up with the resurrected bodies that the Lord is going to give to us and prepare for us. I thank God as the Lord is going to do a great and mighty work, amen. And it brings us to our last point that I wasn't able to get to on my last one before it cut off, and the fifth and last point for part one, lessons to us about issues of sorrow on the mountain of sorrow, is the sorrow from shame of Matthew chapter 26, amen. I thank God that it talks to us about. I thank God as we've talked about the sorrow of sedition in 2 Samuel 15, from sorrow from slavery, sexual abuse, and subjugation in Zechariah 14, the sorrows of a sham worship in 1 Kings 23, and the sorrow and signs of the end of time in Matthew 24. Lastly, the sorrow from shame, Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 down to verse 35. If you'll look with me with the Word of God as we get into our Bible study and finish it up tonight, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30, the Bible says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Boy, I thank God. Here, the Lord's Supper that was instituted when they had sung the hymn, it refers to the hymns of Psalms 115 all the way down to Psalms 116, Psalms 117, Psalms 118, amen, that it tells us, he foretells of this. And here in verse 31, he tells us of Peter's denial right here, that he says, "Then saith Jesus unto them all, ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." I thank God all of them would forsake him, every one of the disciples, the nation of Israel, but he would never forsake them, amen. Zechariah 13, verse 7, amen. But he goes on, he says, "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee," amen. I thank God he was seen above 500 or more, amen, as he had rose from the grave on that third day, amen. Death couldn't keep him, amen. The cross couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. He rose again, amen, to give us the same promise of that resurrection as well. And so I thank God. Peter answered, he said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." But Peter, it was sorrow. Peter was so sorrowed because after the rooster crowed the third time, he realized what Jesus had said, that he had betrayed Jesus, his Lord and Master. I wonder how many of us have betrayed the Lord because we started out on fire and now we have drifted far off, drifted far away from the Lord. And so Jesus said all of these things, amen. Boy, it's sad. Peter answered, said, "I will never be offended," amen. He goes on, he says, Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt not deny me thrice." And Peter said to him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples, amen. Jesus warned his disciples that they would be ashamed of him, desert him, deny him that very night. Peter spoke up and he said he would never deny the Lord. But Jesus informed Peter of the upcoming defeat and failure. And you know, as we look at this, he tells us on further in Matthew 26, verse 75, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly." Peter's denial. The dregs of failure are bitter. They don't taste good at all. No one likes to fumble and no one likes to falter, amen. But during peacetime maneuvers, each and every one of us in our life, in our Christian walk, we need to stay as close and devoted to the Lord these days as we ever have, amen, in our Christian walk. And so thank God, every one of us as believers have blemishes. We make mistakes and failures in our lives, which could have put us on the bench, spiritually speaking, amen. The Lord, he is always in the business of restoring failures, delivering the defeated, and boasting the beaten. And I thank God, Abraham failed miserably in Egypt, and yet he became the father of many nations. Sarah laughed and mocked God's promise. She later became the mother of a miracle baby. Isaac lied about his wife, but the Lord still used him, amen. Moses killed somebody, but God used him years later after he paid his dues 40 years on the backside of the desert, amen, and he got humble pie and began to get back in with what God wanted him to do, amen. Joshua's lack of prayer as well in a crucial decision concerning the Gibeonites and the battle of Ai caused him a great deal of trouble. God used him, however, to settle the land. And then Rahab was a prostitute, a harlot, that God saved her. Hallelujah, brought her into the family of God, into the lineage of Jesus Christ. I thank God the Lord is in the business of restoring failures, delivering the defeated, and boasting the beaten. Amen. And so I thank God each and every one of us. So what does God? What does a Christian do when they fail the Lord like Peter has? When they've come to a mountain of sorrow in their life and they have failed, they've been defeated, and they've been beaten. There are several principles that you can put into practice. I thank God, overcoming failure. Number one, repent. Every day we've got to die daily. We've got to repent because of this old fleshly nature that we contend with. Be sure to turn away from sin that's caused you to fail and stop it immediately, amen. Reveal and restitution, amen. We're to confess our sin to the Lord, seek His forgiveness, make things right with others that we may be make things right, clear our conscience with God and men. Restitution is something that involves correcting matters publicly if someone has been slandered, or involves financial reimbursements. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And I thank God, He says, and He tells us, herein I do exercise myself to always a conscious void of offense toward God and toward men. Amen. And so, replacement as well. One of the things that we've got to do is replace bad habits with good habits. Amen. Well, I thank God, if the wrong kind of friends influence you, make good choices that lead you to failure, you need to make some new friends, amen. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, amen. I thank God. He tells us also of reflection that failure is frustrating, it's inevitable, and I thank God what we can do is when failure comes is learn from our failures and our mistakes, amen. Examine them, learn from the lessons of them. The saddest position of all is the person who lives unaware of his failures, amen. You know, the person that does not see or admit his mistakes cannot learn from what you'll not admit. And so Samson was that kind of person that failed over and over again. He never learned the lessons from his mistakes. And I thank God he thought he was going to get away with all the disobedience, but his sin, however, did catch up with him, and it always does. Christians, your sin will find you out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I thank God. Victories come out of the frustrations from failure and the lessons that can be learned if the truth were known. Most successes are built on the multitude of failures. A true failure in life is one that lives and learns to and fails to learn, especially from their mistakes and the mistakes from others. Learn from your mistakes and don't make them again. Each and every one of us, as we try to do the very best that we can. Also, we make a request, and that is a request of referring to our experiences and learning from them as well to gain wisdom and to learn from the mistakes of others when we search the Scriptures, he says. Because he says, now these things were our examples in the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And so the mountain of sorrows is one of those things, amen. And then we see the resolve that is there as well, amen. We make do the very best that we can to resolve all of these issues, which means steadfastness, amen. Make up your mind to go forward in your Christian life, and if you've fallen, get back up again, hallelujah, Christian. Paul was a man who resolved to make his life count for the Lord in spite of the failures of the times that he denied the Lord in his past, amen. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. And so he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Spiritual, successful Christians, I thank God, are somebody that never fails. The believer that learns how to accept God's remedy for failure, to get back up when you fall down, and to reach out to the Lord when we give in to sin, amen, is very crucial for us to do those things, amen. And so I thank God. Many things people do is they wallow in remorse and self-pity and excuse-making and accusations. But if we'll respond this way, we'll be overwhelmed by all of our failures and our mistakes, and we'll never learn from them. We'll never learn a thing. But I thank God, are you going forward or are you going backward? Huh? Every one of us need to be moving forward and doing the very best thing that we can in everything today. Amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we try to be obedient to the Lord. And then don't forget to read God's Word. Amen. Because it is through the reading regular of God's Word that when we study it, we put it into practice, we memorize, we meditate on those verses to speak it out and speak it on our behalf as we play a very key role in overcoming failure in our life. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, that the Word that I've hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate night and day. Day and night. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we go through life today, that completes every bit of us. And so I thank God, the very first mountain of sorrow was David being rejected as that king of Israel. And 1,000 years later, the King of Kings came that same location, and he was rejected as well by the Jewish nation. And sad today. I thank you for tuning us in. We'll be, Lord's help, we'll be picking up with part 2, the very last of the mountains of the Bible. And as we pick back up next time, we'll have 5 more points that we'll bring out. And I hope and pray that God has blessed you tremendously as you tune us in here tonight and begin to go with us. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the great honor and privilege of being in your house. Forgive us of all our sins, Lord, as we look to the cross. Help us, Lord, through the mountains of sorrowful times that we learn from our experiences. And we give glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray in everything that we do, God. Just continue to strengthen us, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll just use us in the many things that you have store for all of the nation of Israel as they come together. Lord, for every Christian in this nation, Lord, the nation of America, that you will strengthen us and bring us boldly together as a nation once again in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we come together and ask you tonight as we close out mountains of the Bible, Father, tonight. We pray in your name, God. We pray on behalf of those that have COVID, sickness, those that are lost that we mentioned earlier, and those that grief that we're mentioning as well as we close out tonight in Jesus' marvelous, mighty name. Amen. God bless you.